Well, good afternoon, everyone, again on another Sabbath day. I don't know if other people hearing this may still be in nice warm states, but we are starting to get cold here near the Chicago area, and it's in the probably high 20s here, but it's cold out there. Blood isn't thickened up yet from the summer, so... Now, I wanted to begin today and just say greetings to all who are receiving these weekly sermon tapes, because the numbers are growing on this. And right now, this has been your main contact, weekly contact with what we're doing. And I hope you're all enjoying the sermons that are being sent. We've just gotten a new computer system in here, and we're going to be able to update a lot of our material and get things out to you faster. And of course, the computer and all that was bought through the tithes and offerings of everyone who's been very faithful to this work. And I wanted to mention, in case people out there don't know, we are a nonprofit organization. And you will receive a yearly receipt at the end of the year for that. And we're all taken care of by the state, and everything is all in order. So we also have a new duplicator. The old duplicator we had, it was actually new, but it just was not working properly. And at times, my voice, which I have a nice, low, good, resonant voice, sometimes it was getting way up there. It was starting to sound like Mickey Mouse. So we sent that back. They gave us full credit, and they gave me a very good deal on the new one, so I had to send them a little bit more money, but not very much. And we have one now that it's actually coming out better than the Masters. So it comes out nice. So I hope you'll enjoy that as well. And any of you out there in those other scattered areas that we have right now, you know, any time you want us to send literature to any of your friends or relatives that have been part of the Worldwide Church of God and now have gone off to all those other groups, please send us in those names so we can add it to the mailing list. If they don't want to be on it, they certainly will write in and say, take my name off, and we'll do that. We don't go where we're not wanted. And, of course, Satan right now is thinking, well, I don't want you here on my earth. Why don't you shut up? But that we can't do. That we have a commission to do, and we're going to continue to expose him within the very Church of God and then to the world later. So, so that's how that works. Okay, so... we wanted to pass on all of our greetings here. I guess we are headquarters church here in Chicago, and we want to say hello to everyone out there that are scattered around the country, because we're getting more and more letters in from all over the country, and people in the local areas out there are starting to talk and starting to pass things around, and we're receiving the letters from all over now, so it will continue to grow. Okay, this today we're in the third sermon in this series, and we started with circumcision. And we said, circumcision, why? You know, why? Why did God do this? And we've been covering the physical aspect of that, and then last week we were getting more and more into the spiritual aspect of that circumcision. And we wanted to go ahead and pick up where we left off. In fact, we'll go back to the last scripture to get our minds back where we were. And like I said before, I don't want to rehash the circumcision, uncircumcision when it has regard to the covenants and the law. You can send in for our covenant series where we really go through that. We take... I think we read every word of Galatians. We go through the entire book and explain that, because it's very important. Maybe a good time for me to give our address right now. If you hear something and mention a different series that we have, you can write in to Church Outreach Program. That's P.O. Box 6111, Elgin, Illinois, 60121. Some people have asked me, why do we have that P.O. Box 6111? Well, it was hard to get, and I had to do some wangling around, but we got it. And what that represents is nothing big and holy and spiritual or anything else, but I think it just keeps our mind focused on who we are and where we've come from. The number 6 represents that sixth era of God's church, which is the Philadelphian era. And the 111 is in honor of what God did with Mr. Armstrong. Our P.O. box out in California was always P.O. box 111. And so that's an honor of what God did through Mr. Armstrong. And we honor what he did, and we're very thankful for that. And we want to remember our roots and where we came from. Some people go out and try to get this box 111 and think that it's holy, and it's indicating that, because they have a P.O. box, that means they must be God's true church. Well, it has nothing to do with that. There's nothing holy or anything else about that. We're doing it just in the honoring of what God has done, what God has done here with us. And that's as far as that goes, so don't make that into something that it's not. I always hated that. There was that one evangelist who ran around the whole world all the time. You all know who I'm talking about. And he made something out of nothing and made these big spiritual conclusions out of a bunch of physical stuff. And it was garbage then. It was garbage now. You know, the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. And that's exactly what happened. I won't judge his sincerity at all, because he was always very sincere. He just was misled on that. So let's get back. We'll go back to the last scripture that we read, and that was in Galatians. Get our mind back into what we were doing here. Galatians 6. We've been talking about this, the physical circumcision and that covenant with Abraham. And we're going to understand more and more as time goes on here. How this really does fit into an overall view. So let's come back here to Galatians 6 and in verse 15 and 16. And Paul goes through this. And like I say, you can send in for our covenant series. We labor and go through that to show that God's law is still in effect, always is in effect. Has nothing to do with other covenants that God has made. We prove very firmly that the law will be believed and done all throughout eternity. And nothing of that will go away. It is God's very thinking and mind. But here in Galatians 6, verse 15 and 16, where Paul has been beating his head against the wall trying to get this across, this physical circumcision is not needed at this time. And he says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And that is when we are baptized and have hands laid upon us and we receive God's Holy Spirit, we are sealed by that Spirit forever as God's first fruits and as part of the 144,000. And he goes on here and he says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. We know that this Israel of God are the first fruits. They are these 144,000 first fruits that God has sealed. And it is that spiritual nation that God is now building and making. And it's very important that we always keep that in mind. Let's go over right here by Ephesians. Turn over a few pages, whatever, in your Bible. And in Ephesians, and we're talking about being circumcised of the heart, and what that does to the entire body then, and how this covers, the proper covering. And he goes on here to tell us without any question, really, what is going on in our lives. And we can pick this up in Ephesians 2 and start in verse 8. Once we have been circumcised of the heart, then this applies. It says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." And whenever you see the word faith, you can insert spirit. It's by that spirit, it's by the power of God that we're here. And it's by that grace we are saved, through that spirit or by that faith. And that faith always is a fruit of God's Spirit. It's not your fruit, it's His fruit that comes out in us. And that not of yourselves, so we're not saved anything by ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Or do you have all your works working here so you can get some reward? You can get a position higher than one of your brothers or sisters. See, that doesn't even sound right, does it? Because it's not right. Your reward is eternal life. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to bring to him, bring to all of us when he comes to gather us at that first resurrection. Do you want more than that? You know, we have to look at this with a clear head. He goes on, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship." We're not down here working by ourselves to impress him. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what this new creature is supposed to be doing, and will with that Spirit of God. It says, "Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh," whether you're Jew or not, you were Gentiles in the flesh, it's really what we were, "who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." And he's talking here too about the Gentiles and the Jews, and there was always this controversy going on. And a lot of the Jews thought, you have to be circumcised as well to be in the church. And no, you don't. He says he's circumcision by hands, the physical Jews, see? In verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. This church that God is building, that's what this commonwealth of Israel is. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And frankly, that's what all of us have always been under until Christ called us and the Father called us into this. Because the Father calls, not Christ. I don't want somebody to get confused on that. After the Father calls, then Jesus Christ works with us because he is that head of the church. But now in Jesus Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is what the circumcision of the heart is doing. It says, "For he is our peace." He is our peace. That is why we have on a lot of our literature, it says it's the true gospel of peace. Because that is what Jesus Christ brought. Now, he spoke about the coming kingdom. Well, what he brought and what that gospel is all about was that peace. And you can only get that through what Jesus Christ and the Father said. And, of course, the kingdom is part of that. Who hath, let's see, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall and partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, this hatred, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. And that was that penalty. He didn't do away with the commandments, as we see from all the other scriptures. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And this is bringing us all together to make peace in his spirit. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And if you look in the reference in the middle here, in some of your Bibles, it says in himself. Instead of thereby, it's translated in himself. And we don't always think of this, but Jesus Christ had that enmity within him. He had that satanic computer chip within him as well as we did. And that was the greatness of what God did within Jesus Christ. He took a human being, exactly 100% flesh, that's all he was, and by the power of his Spirit, made him perfect within the law, physically and spiritually. That's what the great miracle was, so that he could be our Passover. And so, sometimes we forget that Satan, or that Jesus Christ was here, filled with all those satanic garbage, just like we have been. And you can appreciate more, understanding that, what he had to go through, and how alone he must have felt for even those 3.5 years when he had God's Spirit right within him as a begettal, as the very Son of God, and then all of the disciples around him still did not have that Spirit. And that's why he said a lot of times, oh, how long have I been with you? How often have I repeated these things? It got a little frustrating, but he had the Spirit of God within him, so he loved them. So in verse 17, it says, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, see, if we have the circumcision of the heart, that covering, that Satan taken away, and we're exposed then to Christ and the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That is what we are when we have this spiritual circumcision. So the flesh doesn't do anything, does it? We are circumcised of the heart, and we have no need at this time for first fruits. We have no need for any of us now to be circumcised in the flesh. And as we have gone through this, the first two sermons on this, you might say, well, we already know that we have to be, that human beings will be circumcised in the kingdom of God forever. Well, why wouldn't we need to then? Well, God circumcised our hearts, and that veil and that flesh has been taken away. And that's what Christ represented as well. You can read that in Romans or Hebrews, wherever it's talking about that. He talks about him being that flesh, that Christ was that flesh. And through that death, it's all been taken care of. Remember, the 144,000, the first fruits of God, will become like angels. Not, at least in this sense, like angels, not male or female. We are all circumcised of the heart as God's sons now. But then, there won't be a problem with any circumcision of any flesh, because we won't be in the flesh, will we? And God has already created a new creature. And he sees us as his sons now. And that's why they said, Paul or Peter said, that we are the sons now. We are now the very sons of God. And that's the way that God views us. And the total accessibility to the Father in Jesus Christ. Turn over to Philippians. A few more pages over, since we're in this part of the book. Philippians 3 and verse 3. And he states something else here, Paul does. It says, for we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, the more we understand and the more we see Satan, the less confidence we have within this flesh, don't we? The more we realize it is that enmity that Satan has put there, that hatred toward God, that more and more is leaving us. And we have no confidence in this flesh. Paul also states there in Romans, where he says that this flesh, he says his flesh served sin. And brethren, your flesh will always serve sin until we are changed. It's there. Now hopefully God's Spirit will work with us enough where we serve the flesh less and less. That should be everyone's goal and want and desire in their mind. It's like Paul said, oh, he says, thank God my mind serves God. He says, because every time I want to do something good, he says, I find there's a law. And there really is a law there because Satan is there. He says, my flesh serves sin. And all too often that happens in our life as well, doesn't it? You just have to pick yourself up and keep on going. It's all we can do. Ask the Father in heaven to give us the Spirit needed, that next time that situation comes up, we may be a little bit wiser and he gives us a little bit more strength, so we don't fall into the same pit. Let's turn here to Colossians. Colossians 2. He goes through this a little bit. We're just reaffirming here what Paul has been going through and how important the circumcision of the heart really is. Colossians 2, starting in verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, with that circumcision of the heart, with that Spirit, with that baptism. It says, we are complete in him. Not half done, it's all done. At least in this flesh today. Which is the head of all principality and power. If we're part and one with Christ, then we are part of this. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's the important one. In putting off, at least for us now, later it'll be both. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, or that spirit of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Do you imagine Christ still being in the grave? Well, we would all die, and then we would stay there forever. If Christ stayed in that grave, brethren, think of it. You would never, ever get out of that grave. You would die. You'd be there for eternity. But Christ did, and we will as well. Verse 13, and you being dead, see, you're dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses or transgressions or sins. You know, we forget this. He has forgiven you all of these sins and any sins that you do in the future. You don't have to keep banging on your knees and getting to God, oh, forgive me, because if you don't forgive me for this day's sins, then I'm not going to make it. Well, what happens if I slip into a coma and forget to ask for the forgiveness? Will you go to hell? Well, that, you know, you set up a premise, you've got to go with it. That's a premise we've all been under. But it's not the right premise. This, what I'm just reading you, is the premise of God. It's like when you tell a joke, you set up the premise. If they buy the premise, they buy the joke. Same way. He has forgiven all sins. It says in verse 14, this confuses a lot of people. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, or to the stake. In other words, his crucifixion. What does that mean? Oh, thank God, the law of God is gone. 10 commandments are gone. We're kind of on our own, and whoop-dee-doo, here we go. No, that's not what it said. It says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances, that's the law of God, that was against us. Brethren, that law was against us because we couldn't do it perfectly. And if we couldn't do it perfectly, then we sinned and we would die forever. Was it against us? Absolutely. But now with the Spirit, see, it was contrary to us. We were of the flesh. And that law says the law is spiritual. And it is. He took it away. He took that penalty away. And he put us under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have that great sacrifice. Now when we break the law, when we break the Sabbath, which we all do every week, let's face it, where are our minds? It's on this world. And we're all guilty of that. But he covers us. Now, we don't go out and intentionally do things. That would be wrong. And if you continue to do that over and over and over, well, we can just assume you don't have God's Spirit. You know, you're a tear or somebody moving through here. You'd have no conscience. So it goes on here saying, and having spoiled principalities and powers. See, he spoiled them. Satan would have gotten you in the... He's the power of death and the grave. And you would have remained there forever. But because he did this, we spoiled those things. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He was up there on that stake or cross or whatever you want to say, whatever he was at that time. That's immaterial. The point is that he was sacrificed. He was crucified there. He was killed. Openly. Everyone is still reading about it today. It wasn't done in secret. Everyone knows about this guy, Jesus Christ. You know, even if they're not Christians. Now, some parts of the world I haven't heard about yet. We'll take care of that later. But they're still reading. 2,000 years later, he did it so openly and with such a work that we still remember it. And he put Satan to shame on that day. And he became the head. And Satan became nothing. You know, we really have to think about this in our lives. Really, what Jesus Christ really did. See, we became circumcised with Christ's death. That's what it said a little earlier. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in the meat and drink offerings and in respect of the holy days and the Sabbath and all of that. It says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Jesus Christ. You know, if somebody's going to judge you, you just say, I'm sorry, I've got Christ. I'm sorry, I'm covered. You know, you want to judge me, just go ahead. It doesn't bother me at all. We know what we're doing. We know the holy days are there. We know the Sabbath is there. We know the Ten Commandments. We know that's the very way of life that God has given. And that's the very life of the Father. You know, this death, when it talks about in verse 15 here, having spoiled the principalities and powers, that death was Satan. And we have overcome that by the death of Christ, by that circumcision of the heart. You know, he did that openly. And we, the first fruits, are no more bondage. We are no more in this bondage of death, which we spoke about earlier in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. We're over that. We don't live in that bondage anymore. Why? Because of that circumcision. The circumcision without hands. Is circumcision an important subject? I think so. You know, everything revolves around it, doesn't it? It's one that we haven't really understood too well. I'm going to keep on going here in my notes. And we're going to continue to do a few more scriptures here on circumcision and seeing the glory of the circumcision made without hands. And then we're going to proceed and start into the woman's cycle, which is, I know I have half the audience right there, see? They're going to want to hear this, and everyone will, because it's very revealing. Well, let's continue in this theme for a moment in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. I mean, it really is important for us to really grasp what this circumcision that were made without hands really is for us. It's all about Christ, and it's all about what it does, and it takes that covering of Satan away and that flesh away and that veil, and it puts us to become his very children. Is circumcision important? You bet. You bet it is. It's a very focal point of your life. Starting in verse 1 here at Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's where our minds should be. Yes, we have our jobs to do and we have this little life that we have. But the overview and everything that we're really going for should be of the things above. Looking forward to that and that encouragement. Seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God, because that's your only hope. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Remember the one scripture where it talks about the pride of the eyes? You know, and the pride of the heart and the lust of the eyes and lust of the heart, all for the physical. Now, we start to get away from that the more you have God's Spirit in you for a longer period of time. It says, for you are dead, verse 3. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, when he comes back in that first resurrection, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Don't be worried about any glory now. That is when we're going to appear in glory. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon this earth. And what are your members? What is it that you are? Oh, the fornication, the uncleanness, all these bad affections, evil, all this covetousness, idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. See, that those are the fruits of Satan, which of course we have within us. But that's why Christ is coming. That's why God is coming. That's why he's going to bring the wrath all on this stuff. We're covered from that. In the which you also walk sometimes, so we all walk there, when you lived in them. But now you also, put off all these anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, of course, everyone in this room has completely put off all those bad deeds, right? Yeah, I don't see any hands out there. we're going to live in this lousy life, this satanic life. And, we're going to slip. But when you slip, pick yourself up and keep on going and try not to do that again and ask God for his forgiveness on that. Verse 10. And have put on, this is what we really did, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And we certainly, in the last number of years, have had an awful lot of knowledge about Christ and about Satan and about the Father, haven't we? More than we've ever known before. It says, whether there is neither Greek nor Jew. It doesn't matter what nationality and background any one of us has come from. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Doesn't matter. Barbarian, no matter what, you know. Where you came from. Bond or free. You know, rich or poor, we can say. Doesn't matter. But Christ is all and in all of his first fruits. And to Jesus Christ, we are totally equal. Now, I won't take the time, but when you get home, go ahead and continue to read there from 13, verses 13 all the way to the end of the chapter. And it continues on about that, about what we should be within God's church. We're not here to please men, and we're certainly not here to please Satan and his way of life and go that way. Okay, we want to turn next to Ezekiel. We've talked a lot about circumcision. We've talked about the uncircumcised in the flesh and the circumcision in the flesh. And now, in the spiritual. And what does God have to say about what this is now, but what about what's coming? What about what's coming? And we'll be covering this a lot more as we get into the next few sermons. But this is starting to tell us, this is going to happen to the whole world in the great last day. This is what everyone will experience at some time. Ezekiel 36, we will start in verse 25. And on that great last day, this is when these things are going to begin. It says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean." And he's talking about Israel here, and all of the everyone that's been resurrected, all the great multitude, everyone. Finally, Satan's going to be put away, and then he's going to do this. He says, "Clean water upon you, and you shall be clean." Remember, his spirit is going to be everywhere on the earth. And water, a lot of times, indicates or shows that it's God's spirit as well. "From you're going to be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Are you going to cleanse you? No. God says, "I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart." Brethren, that's what we have. We have this flesh heart. It is a stony heart. "And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Well, that sounds, what is he saying there? Let's look at that. "And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." This is the kingdom of God he's talking about to all of the people, not the first fruits. "And I will give you a heart of flesh." A heart of flesh almost sounds contradictive here, doesn't it? No. The heart of flesh that he created Adam and Eve with is proper and right and good, true human nature. It's that satanic nature which was put into us. That's that stony heart. So they're going to be flesh, and he's going to give them this good heart of flesh. Verse 27, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Is he going to go do away with this law? No, you're going to do them. Finally, you're actually going to be able to keep God's law and rejoice in them. They won't be a burden to you. See, they were against us before, but then they won't be against us. It will be something that we want to do. In verse 28, "And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers," way back there, to Abraham, which he promised, "and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." You know, what a wonderful time to look forward to. There's going to be his law there, and then you're going to become, at least all the people in this world that are not first fruits, are going to become his people, and he will be their God. You can reference a scripture in Revelation 21:3, and it talks about the great last day, the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation 21:3, and he says there that that is when everyone is going to be his people, and he will be their God. That's when that takes place. "In that day, all will be circumcised of the flesh and of the heart. Satan and that covering will never be there again. God will honor that covenant that he made at the beginning with Abraham. It will go on forever like the sand of the sea." You know, this is what it's all about. That's why it's so important to understand way back when Abraham's time, that it is that covenant, and he has that with us forever.